This is a Glassbox Media podcast.
Welcome to The Blank Podcast, the podcast where we talk to well-known guests about their lives, their careers, and navigating those difficult moments along the way. I'm Giles Perry-Phillips, and with me in silhouette, because there's no spotlight on him, and he's lying, I can see he's lying back in his sofa, right next to his microphone, which he's got perched on a coffee table, it's Jim Daly.
This is like a weird, like, podcast description episode. I have moved location. Because I'm keeping an eye on my daughter at the moment, who's watching weird videos on YouTube. To do this top and tail, yeah, I'm on my... I'm silhouetted by the window behind me, so I probably look quite arty, actually. Probably the artiest I've ever looked.
Yeah, well, I think we described it off-air as you being in one of those true crime investigation shows where you've decided to keep your identity anonymous.
Yes, I've got to stay anonymous I'm leaking information about the mafia.
Yeah, you're a whistleblower.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, actually, the mafia comes up, well, sort of, on this week's episode. But that's the closest I would get, I think. Yeah, I think I would be. I can't imagine ever being involved in the mafia, but I think I would be a whistleblower if it ever came to it.
Yeah, so
as close as I would get, I think I would be a witness. I'd like witness something and then probably squeal.
So you're currently in witness protection.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm like Harry Hill, not Harry Hill, Henry Hill at the end of...
Very different. Harry Hill. That's a very Goodfellas. Different version of Goodfellas.
I don't want more to find out who's leaking the drugs. Bye.
I wonder if we could have other kind of comedians in other gangster movies. Like, who could play Johnny Depp in Donnie Brasco?
Johnny Vegas.
Johnny Vegas. Perfect.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be very good. What about who'd play Robert De Niro in Casino?
Ooh.
Robert Webb?
Robert Webb, yeah.
And he'd do it while dancing in Lycra.
Well, I like that if it was Robert Webb and then David Mitchell played the Joe Pesci role.
Or no, what about in Heat when it's Robert Webb and then Joe Pesci plays the Al Pacino role?
Oh, so David Mitchell plays Al Pacino.
And then they're sort of... Oh, yeah, instead of being on the same team, they're obviously in Heat. They're obviously either side of the divide.
Yeah, so, that could work. I mean, I think
this is a new genre.
Yeah, we could go on for this for days now. And well, no, maybe not days, minutes,
a couple of minutes. Well, to be fair, this is an episode that we did a lot of pitching, didn't we? A lot of brainstorming of ideas. Actually, quite a few ideas came up in this episode. So no one steal our ideas, firstly. But it was. Bit of a soundboard this episode, wasn't it, for out there TV ideas?
Yeah, it was a great episode. We went all over the shop, and I think you and I both really like those episodes where we go in. I mean, it's kind of it's like a sort of scattergun approach to conversation. But that's what normal conversations do, isn't it? Like you do go with here, there, and everywhere, and I like that.
I think they do with like mates, and this week's guest felt like a mate that you'd known for years from the off. And I think those kind of conversations always go all over the place, and those are kind of the best ones. And I think this week's episode is an example of that.
Yeah, and I think, well, we said we'd end up calling each other knobheads by the end of the episode, and that's exactly what happened.
Is that how we signed off?
But I mean, we should introduce this week's guest. It's Kimberly Hart Simpson, who a lot of people will know from her acting work, and she had a little bit of reality TV as well. But her role in Coronation Street and Hollyoaks, she's well known for. But she does a lot of stage stuff as well. And Jim, it was like talking to an old mate. It was brilliant.
Yeah, we hit it off right from the very start. It was one of the easiest chats you ever had. Loads of fun. first 20 minutes for us going off tangent already, which you know it's going to be a good episode from that. And yeah, Kimberly's just absolutely lovely. This is a really nice blend of mad, random chat that you and I love, and also some really honest moments from Kimberly as well, and really appreciate her opening up about various parts of her life, including some behind the scenes with some of the shows she's been on as well, or some of the processes of getting those shows. So yeah, I think this one had absolutely everything. And as I said at the end, you know, we could have chatted for absolute hours, but we have to wrap up at some point. But yeah, she was an absolute blast to have on. So it's a really, really, really fun one this week.
Yeah, I loved it. Really loved it. And like you say, we talked about all sorts of stuff. Yeah, from hot tubs to metaphors.
Naked attraction.
Naked attraction. I mean, it comes up quite often, but yeah, naked attraction to metaphors about the Shawshank Redemption. I mean, it's got, exactly. It's got everything you could ever desire in a podcast.
What more could you want? How have we not won an award yet? I mean, honestly, we're just ticking so many boxes. This is mad. Pull your finger out, British Podcast Awards.
Well, maybe they'd be saying the same thing to us. Pull your finger out, lads. Let's make a podcast that is actually, like, makes some sense. But we don't want to make a podcast like that.
That's too obvious.
Yeah.
It's too boring.
It is.
No, we are unique, I think, and I think we should stick to what we're doing, because this week is a good example of the madness that is Blank Podcast.
Yeah, including the 6-7 minute intros, which people skip through. So, I mean, we probably should just get on with it, really, because we've teased it enough. This is a brilliant episode this week with the wonderful Kimberly Hart Simpson.
Now, I think.
We're live.
Yay. This little badger is going to be my thing to say from now on.
Everything. I say, where the hell is that badger? And I'm always using it.
Is that?
Don't know. I made up a saying last night. I was on the sofa and I said, God, they must have had a bit of Robert De Niro, meaning money. And my friend's like, have you just made it up? And I was like, don't know if I've made that up or I found
solid.
It.
Yeah. That's if solid. you've got a lot of De Niros. I've heard.
Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Don't tell me you've heard it, because I Googled it and thought, have I just come up with a sick saying? So I Googled it.
And no one had said it before?
I can't find a trace of it.
No, claim it.
Do you think?
I think claim it, yeah. I haven't heard it, but like it makes sense in my head.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
I reckon Robert De Niro is probably loaded.
Robert De Niro and Badger, you're welcome.
Thank you. Well, that's good.
Badger, actually... I went through a phase, me and my mates went through a phase probably around 2007 of saying badger.
Where's that badger and stuff?
Yeah. I don't know where it came from, but it was, yeah, sorry.
It works, but, doesn't it, though?
And it works.
It does work.
But it fell out of fashion. I'm really glad to hear that you've hung on to it.
Yeah,
for you, baby, retro.
What's the context for, though? Can you use it in lots of different ways? Or is it just...
Yeah. If you don't want to swear, you could just be like, oh, my God, he's been an absolute badger today. It's all behind the, do you know what, the intention, isn't
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And the inflection and like the context.
It's how you use it.
Yeah, because Jim, you've referred to some people as being nuggets before.
That's a good one.
So do you know what, that's quite specific. Would you like to hear the context?
Yeah, go on you.
That, and this comes from a friend of mine who I won't name, who works in football. But it refers to a specific type of football fan.
Okay.
Who is some football fans just they take it all a bit too seriously, and like it becomes their identity, and to the point where they act like idiots.
Yes.
This is again small, narrowing down the context. This normally refers to football fans going on away days on trains.
It's quite niche. It's quite a niche reference.
Really, really.
Yeah. I've met them.
You've met them.
We've all met them.
On trains, yeah, and I get really like, oh.
Yeah.
They're called nuggets.
Yeah. Nuggets. I've got a stronger name for them, but we'll stick with nuggets.
We'll stick with nuggets and badgers.
Yeah.
It's cool, isn't it? Like, I think we've all got little phrases and stuff that we do in our own little kind of, in our little friendship groups.
Yeah.
It's always like, it's like cool. Like, you can have your own little languages.
You're so right. Me and my group and my friends, a particular group, we say, call each other Chip. So every day we text each other and say, morning, Chippy. I don't know why. And it just sticks and it works. And then yeah, we get it. We know what it means, but we'll be like, oh, shut up, Chip. And then, yeah.
I really like that. Is that a northern thing? I feel like it's more northern than southern.
It's just, it's because my best mate one time said to her chihuahua, she went, come here, Chippy. And then it just stuck. And then, because you know when your dog names, when you refer to animals, you call them really weird things, don't you? I can't be like, come here, my little poodle perm. I don't know where I get. It just comes out, you know, comes out of you. So that's where Chip started.
I thought you were going to say, it's because my best friend once had some chips.
No.
That would be a bit of a letdown if it does.
Yeah.
Your story was better. It was better than that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think calling dogs names is really... I call my dog sexy all the time, and that's not for everyone. I understand.
Good for his confidence.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, you're so fit. Like, I always call him... I was like, you're sexy, you know. Like,
I think everyone needs to hear that.
Yeah, I think we all need validation.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's like, cheers, mate.
He's like, haha, yeah. I know.
Feeling all right. Yeah, he loves it. So there you go. That's me.
What kind of dog is he?
So I've got two dogs. I've got what's meant to be a cockapoo, but she's never seen a cockapoo. Okay. I don't know what she is. And a long-haired chihuahua who's a rescue.
Oh, okay. Lovely.
And he's the sexy one.
Yeah.
She's got a great personality. Okay? She's got a great personality.
She's bookish.
Yeah, we'll just leave it there. She's got a lot going for her, personality-wise.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a movie in this. The other one's
just well fit. Yeah.
Some people get all the looks. It just happens.
Yeah. But he has got no personality. He's completely void of it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's got nothing else to offer, but he's fit. We all know the ones, don't we?
I know many people like that. Yeah. Many, many people like that. Yeah. I think the nickname thing is interesting because I think, like, I might, if it's okay, start adopting Chip as a nickname because I think that's lovely. But
Chip Daly?
It sounds like a news reporter, a news anchor.
Yeah, it does.
That's so nice.
It does. Where would you be, like, in Wisconsin or something like
Wisconsin.
That?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's very Anchorman, isn't it? Yeah, it's very Anchorman. Yes. Yeah, love that for you.
Like mid-70s.
Yeah. Here's Chip Daly. With a spot.
Now, Chip Daly with the weather. I think in bloke circles, though, it's more just like, all right, you twat.
Yeah.
Nicknames don't know. It's not the same.
Yeah, I completely get it. I think my love language between my friends is to be offensive or calling that in times of... diabolical circumstances where the world's breaking around us and we'll call each other a little knobhead or something. Come here, you little knobhead. You know, just stuff like that. And that's how our love language is, do you know what I mean? And I think blokes are the same.
It's a British thing.
I was going to say, because I can't imagine Americans, for instance, being like that in their friendship groups. Like, I think, you know, it's always like more probably like kind of trying to big you up, like...
Yeah.
Whereas we kind of like the irony of being rude to each other.
Definitely. I think that's, yeah, I just think it's part of our communication skills.
Yeah.
That's definitely how we speak to each other. And it's never loaded. It comes with a complete sentimental value.
Yeah.
But we do it all the time. But then, you know, again, it's in the intention. You can tell if I'm calling someone a knobhead and I mean it, you'll know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. It can be used. Both ways.
Always, yeah, definitely.
Like, Australians do that with the C word, don't they? Like, I think they use that as a real, like...
Well, they say, do they say it in a... Really?
Oh, massively. I think they use every other... Well, I've probably been a bit unfair there, but, like...
I think Southerners do that as well. Southerners use it a lot looser. Am I right in thinking that?
I think it depends on where you're from. I think if you're maybe from some, like, Essex or someone like that, I think... Yeah. I'm from more, like... Sorry, which I think is probably less like that. I live in Sussex,
it's still quite an offensive thing to say.
Is it?
Yeah.
So it's very postcode vibes.
Yeah, I love it.
But I know I've heard it said before and it doesn't feel as harsh or doesn't sound as out there because I know that city or that town says it like that. Yeah. So it doesn't offend, but then obviously if you were at your end, Giles, and someone said that, you might be a bit more alarmed by it.
Yeah. But again, though, if you, I guess if it's someone you know and it's a bit jolly and stuff, even though I still think I'd be a bit like, ooh, that's a bit, that's a bit much.
I've got a couple of mates that it would be fine with, and then I've got lots of other friends that it definitely wouldn't be. So it's just like picking and choosing. But I like those words that are like knobhead, I think is an absolutely lovely word. Never thought I'd say that on the podcast. someone listening now is like, what is...
What have I tuned into here?
I messaged two guys I worked with at the start of this year yesterday about meeting up next week for lunch, and they're two of the nicest guys I've ever worked with, and I really enjoyed working with them. But my message went, are you two plonkers available for lunch?
Plonkers are brilliant.
Plonkers good. Yeah.
But it was said with love, and it was received with love.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they know that. Like, you've got to that point in your relationship where they know that that's not going to be. It was really interesting yesterday. I was listening to something on Radio 1, and Greg James was doing a piece about what have you said on a work email that hasn't been received well. And I think one of the girls on it was like, I can't remember what it was. It was so, I can't remember the slogan, but it's something we use in everyday terms. But let's say it was like, see you later, alligator, have a good weekend, team.
Yeah, yeah.
And the main boss got back and was like, that's highly inappropriate. And you're like, are you joking? Like,
that's offensive towards alligators.
Like, it's like, you know what she means. It's like, oh, that's not very professional sign off. And you're like, what do you want, a kind regards? I can't be asked. Like, that's not very... If can you know I prefer, the team...
You know, you see on the internet those, like, memes of, like, people in the offices that have really, like, out there sign-offs.
Yeah.
Like, screaming into the void, Kim Daly. Or stuff like that. I love that. I think a bit of
Chip
personality
Daly.
At work.
Yeah, Chip
Sorry,
Daly.
Chip Daly. I think a bit of personality
Do you know what
is,
I did?
Is needed.
I had a job interview once to be a teacher's assistant, and I knew one of the people that was interviewing me. And at the end, I had to go around shaking everybody's hands. And when I came to that person, I did that thing. It's not very good. This isn't going to work very well for listeners, but I did that thing where I put my finger up to my nose and went like that and wiggled my fingers. And then I shook the vet, so they were in the middle. So I shook hands, did the finger thing, shook hands. And I remember thinking afterwards, was that really bad that I did that? Because I basically probably really embarrassed that person when they
did
were.
Did they know you knew that person?
They all knew I knew them, so I think it was
okay. Oh, I think you're all right.
Out of context, that would have been really,
really weird.
I know.
So weird. Did you get the job?
I got offered the job, but I didn't take
it. There you go. It went down well.
They loved it. They now do it in meetings.
Yeah. But I thought actually that afterwards I felt really guilty because I thought, everyone was being really professional and I've actually just mocked that person in their like.
Did you text them and apologise?
I did actually. I said, I'm really sorry.
I knew you would.
Yeah.
Listen, that kind of thing would keep me up at night.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of thing where I'm staring at the ceiling thinking, what? Why did I do that in 1992?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I will be like, I will think about that forever and I'll never get over it and I'll have to text them. And even then, they might, half the time, they're like, I didn't even clock it. But that kind of thing will just, I don't know, send me under.
I have to say, I've tweeted this before, like, good night, everyone. I'm just going to go and think about all the horrible things I've ever done in life, you know, and not sleep. Because, those things often... Actually, it does happen at night time often when you're lying in bed and then you're like...
Oh, wait.
Your brain's reactive,
why did
it? Your brain goes into overdrive.
Why did I humiliate that school governor that time in an interview?
Yeah, but it might have happened years ago. It just pops up.
They probably
comes
never
out of nowhere.
They probably never ever think about it again, but it's still there.
For us.
I think, like, invariably in those moments, the other person is not thinking the same way. They're not thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about you and what you've done. So I saw someone, it might have been a TikTok, talking about the way that people perceive situations differently. Like the exact same situation happens and then because of our context or like thinking about ourselves or whatever, what's happened that day, etc. We like see things differently. I have butchered that TikTok, but like, you know what I mean? Like if we all just see things differently, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, I completely, that's like memories, isn't it? Yeah. We all remember it a different way.
Yeah.
In particular arguments, as well, like all the other things that happen, you sort of end up remembering it. And there's your version, there's my version, and somewhere in the middle is the truth, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Charles, you love cooking, don't you? You're a big fan of cooking at home.
I love cooking, and I love cooking from scratch.
Well, do you know what? I love it too. Unfortunately, I'm not very good at it, which is why I use Gusto. Have you heard of Gusto? Do you use them?
I love Gusto. What a brilliant thing. You get all the...
That was good. Just go from I love Gusto.
Yeah, I love Gusto, Jim. Honestly, it's so good because you get all these recipes, you get all the ingredients you need, and you can choose. I tell you what, this is the greatest thing. You can choose from over 250 recipes every month.
It is good. Yeah, I mean, there's so much choice. I've been using Gusto pretty much since the start of lockdown, and it's made me the most average of home chefs, basically turn me into Gordon Ramsay, because everything's there for you. You get all the ingredients, you get with the right measurements, you get really clear, easy to follow instructions, and before you know it, you're like the king of the kitchen. And there's various time lengths, like some of them are, the average is about 25 minutes to make, but some of them are a bit longer, 45 minutes. Some of them really quick 10-minute ones if you're like, you know, want to make a quick lunch and then head out the door, or a quick dinner because the kids are being a pain, which does happen a lot in this household. Gusto is so easy to use, and I really enjoy it. It's made me enjoy cooking again. And Gusto gives you everything you need to create incredible home-cooked meals, including perfectly portioned fish. Fresh. Gusto gives you everything you need to create incredible home-cooked meals, including perfectly portioned fresh ingredients. And they are always fresh, which is lovely. And as I said, easy to follow recipe cards. And with Gusto, you can choose, as you said, Charles, from 250 recipes a month, including vegan, vegetarian, which we are at home as well, and the veggie options are absolutely lovely. They come delivered straight to your door any day of the week, and you can basically start enjoying quality dishes today.
So yeah, Gusto makes planning meals that much easier.
It does. You can get the pre-portioned ingredients, which means, crucially, zero food waste, which can be an issue if you buy stuff from the supermarkets and take it home.
And as we've said, easy to follow recipe cards.
The ingredients are always fresh, high quality, so you know that what you're putting in your mouth is good quality.
So you can sign up now for 60% off your first box.
That's right. Gusto are giving Blank listeners 60% off their first box and 25% off all boxes for 2 months. What a deal that is. All you got to do is head to gusto.co.uk, gusto.co.uk, gusto.co.uk. Use the code BLANK to get that offer of 60% off your first box and 25% off all boxes for 2 months. Charles, what a deal.
It's an amazing deal. Head there now.
That's gusto.co.uk and use the code BLANK.
Well, Kimberly, welcome to the podcast.
What's the longest intro you've ever had on here.
We're 14 minutes in. We've covered a lot of bases already. This is kind of how it works with this podcast.
We've got 5 minutes left.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
we'll
sign off.
Yeah.
Lovely to have you on. It's so great to have you on. Big fan of you as a person and obviously your work. Now, am I right in thinking you grew up in Derbyshire? You're from Derbyshire originally. Is that...
You're reading Denbighshire.
Am I?
Yeah, and that's Wales.
Okay, well, there you go. So that's a good start, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is why we shouldn't actually do, like, the proper interview, because it always goes wrong.
Yeah, so I was born in Wales, North Wales, which is where I'm actually sat right now.
So Denbighshire, not Derbyshire. I wonder why I read that as Derbyshire. I'm so sorry.
Your brain has made that connection.
Yeah. To be fair, also, like, I don't sound like I'm Welsh.
No.
At all. So that's a bit of a spanner in the works.
Have you ever sounded Welsh?
Like, when now I'm in North Wales today, like, I speak like a bit North Walian.
Okay.
I went to the reception yesterday and I ended up talking like that. Like, I was like, how are you? I was like, oh my God, no. It's so jarring for me because I end up having this mad accent. Mad accent. But yeah, originally from Wales, born in St. Asaph and then grew up in Rhyl till I was 16 and then left in pursuit of being an actress. But this is definitely home, and I've actually come to Wales for the weekend. I'm just currently looking out at the Welsh mountains.
Oh, wow.
I'm in a lodge. Lovely. And you could just see hills and Snowdonia in the nice. Distance. And it's a little hot tub outside. I might have a little Prosecco later.
Nice.
I'm living the dream, guys.
Yeah,
I'm
you living are the living dream. The dream. So have you still got connections in that area then?
Yeah, my friends and my connections, yeah. And also my memories and my connections. My mum that was lived in Rhyl, she came to Manchester because my brother and myself moved from Wales to Manchester, so it made sense for her to come there too. So in terms of family, I've got aunties and uncles and cousins that are Bangaway and Anglesey, but apart from that, it's just my friends. But they tend to come to me now because they want to go to the city and you know, just sort of, yeah, they come to me, but it's got a special place in my heart, massively.
I mean, it's a beautiful country. You did make it sound, though, Giles, like Kimberly had was in the mafia then when you said you got connection.
I know.
I got the connections towards...
Yeah. Can I make you an offer? You can't refuse. But anyway, just on hot tubs, my wife's best friend for her husband's 40th, which I think was last year, hired him a hot tub, and right. I think that might be the greatest present I've ever heard. And I've been sort of dropping, my 40th is next year, I've been dropping hints to my wife. But isn't it great that he's called Giles as well? Isn't it great that Giles got that hot tub? What a great idea! We could all use the hot tub. What a lovely idea! So I'm hoping, I'm sort of dropping in hints.
So hiring
a
hot tub,
hiring a hot tub,
but so, yeah, but it was one, is it an inflatable one then?
No, I guess I don't. Oh, it might have been.
No, I think delivered. It is. I think it's like a lazy... Yeah. It's called like a lazy tub, isn't it? Like a lazy jacuzzi or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, but then you can buy them and you can have the luxury of having a hot tub all year round.
I know.
We do have. So we had work done on the house last year and we do have...
Space.
The patio ended up being bigger than we expected. But now I'm thinking...
Listen, you know, it's worked out
there's
perfectly
a reason everything
for you.
Happened.
Yeah. Take it as a sign. God wanted you to have a hot tub.
Well, yeah. I think I know someone. There was a bit of a trend in my local area of getting hot tubs a few years back. And quite a few of my people I know bought like the permanent ones. And what was great is that they're actually quite nice when it's, even when it's raining and stuff, it's quite nice to go and sit in the hot tub. Which you'd be just like a summer thing. But actually, even in the like cold weather and stuff, it's quite nice to go out and sit in the hot tub.
So I feel like that sounds quite bleak, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, it does. It does.
That's like sitting in a shower to cry because no one can tell. Virgin on that.
It's the best place. It's the best place to cry. Come on.
I'm like Leona Lewis bleeding love down that shower. I love nothing more than just being like... but I don't know if I want to sit in a hot tub whilst it rains on me.
No, maybe
but
not.
But you want to get your money's worth.
Well, this is it as well.
If you've
I'll be in that today, come rain or shine. Well, I will, and I know I will.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if that was the justification for, like, I've spent $4,000 on a hot tub. I'm going to be out there every day, no matter what the weather is.
Washing your kids in it. Doing
it. Yeah.
Good filter. I've got a good filter.
Close everything.
Hot wash. I got you. Yeah,
don't worry.
The last hot tub I had access to was on my honeymoon, which was 4.5 years ago. My wife and I went to America, and we flew down to the Misty Mountains in...
Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, near Dollywood. What state's that in? It's not
Tennessee.
It's not, Mississippi, Tennessee. And our flight from New York, we had this like lodge in the mountains, like gorgeous like lodge with a hot tub, specifically because I'd asked for a hot tub, and we were only there one night. The plan was fly in, drive there, long flight, long drive, go to the hot tub, chill, and then like we were going to go to Dollywood the next day and like move on. Our flight from LaGuardia was delayed by 6 hours, so we only got into the airport right on like the last minute to get our hire car, got a hire car. I didn't get to the lodge till like 2 a.m. I was too tired to use the hot tub. Left the next day.
That's a very tragic story.
Not
where I thought it was going to go. I thought it was like, no, I was in there 24 hours.
I needed to share it. I know.
Yeah. Oh, because you've not got over it, have you?
Nah, he's still pining for his
hot tub. I can tell. It still hurts. I get it.
It does. I mean, the rest of the honeymoon was brilliant, but that was, yeah.
The only thing I'd say about hot tubs, personally, is how pissed you get in them. Oh, okay. God.
You really let all your inhibitions go.
At the things I've seen in hot tubs. me and my mates.
That could be a whole podcast in itself. Things I've seen in a hot tub.
Or do it live from a hot tub.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
In fact, some wild stuff's happened. I filmed in hot tubs before as well. When we did Celebs Go Dating, I had to have a date in a hot tub. Do you know how awkward that is?
I can imagine that is quite awkward, actually. Yeah. How did the date go?
Well, listen to this. Because of TV, you're not even allowed to have the bubbles on, so you just sat in water together.
Oh,
no.
Because of the audio? Because of the sound?
Yeah, because of the sound. So you just sat there in a bath together, basically.
A lukewarm bath.
On your first date, that's...
Human soup.
Yeah, that's so stupid. Like,
oh my God.
We're just having a bath together, so like, so where did you grow up? Like, it's so stupid.
And what's your favourite movie?
Yeah, just awkward.
Hot Tub Time Machine, probably.
Yeah, it's just awkward chats, just sat there.
Well, I guess it's quite awkward because you've got other people, well, there's obviously the crew and stuff around
like,
you.
Filming and stuff.
Yeah, and it's just not normal, is it?
Yeah.
But then on the other spectrum, like, we went away, a group of my friends went away to this amazing secret garden glamping. I've been there so many times, it's amazing. And one of the owners there was like, he told me, he was like, oh, did you know I did Naked Attraction? And I was like, no, but I need to find the episode now.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, my God.
I know. He's so amazing. He's so nice. And his, like, he's just, but I was like, what? So obviously we're all drunk in the hot tub and there's a TV above the hot tub. So we're getting on. We're watching Naked Attraction from a hot tub, absolutely steaming, watching him. Like, it's just like, watching him on the hot, get his, you know, stuff out.
Was he the one in the five?
He was the chooser.
Okay, well, yeah. Oh, interesting.
Strongest position to be, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. If I had to do it.
Well, you're naked for the least time as well.
Least amount of time.
You're just naked at the end. And no one's judging you so much. I mean, I know they get the people that they've chosen to say, what do you think of that?
And then
I mean, it's such a weird program. Sorry, Jim, but like the bit where they're saying, oh, that's a nice little tucked in thing. And that, fucking hell. It's the most bizarre show, isn't it?
And really I'm weird. Like, I watch it and think, have I got?
Yeah, I know. Oh my God. I know. Well, now you end up like in the mornings. We've got a full length mirror in the bedroom. I'm like looking at myself, thinking, oh God, what would they be saying about me in the morning?
Are you like getting a bit of cardboard?
Yeah.
Like,
no, I get a blanket.
Covering half your body. Slowly.
Yeah. What's the theme tune?
I do think, who is it that hosts it? Emma, what's her name?
No, it's Anna Richardson.
Oh, I'm kidding.
She's great.
She's really good because that particular host.
She's very good.
She's
my favourite bit is right at the end when the chooser has chosen and then they're both naked. And No, I lie, sorry. My favourite bit is when they've been rejected and then they come out and they say, oh, this is a teacher from wherever.
Yeah, teacher, brilliant.
And then they have the most awkward hug that ever happened.
Yeah, it's like
on TV. It's painful to watch. I mean, yes. It's just, they hug like this.
I don't want my breast
like
touching you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then they have to do, like, an apprentice style, you know, when they don't get through. And they're like, Alan Sugar's made the worst decision of his life.
Yeah.
That's not last you've seen of me. They have to do one of them, like, I mean, why wouldn't you want all this?
Yeah.
And it's just like,
I didn't want to get with him anyway. His dick was too small.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, fair play. Or when they have to meet at the end of the sofas when they've been on the date. And they have to decide whether to say, oh, so have you seen each other again? They're like,
Oh, so awkward, that bit. Because they very rarely...
Same on first dates, though.
But I think first dates, I have to say, they normally match up quite well. I mean, one of the ones I've seen it, they do generally have, like, a decent, like, time together.
But, absolutely.
But Naked Attraction, very rarely do they get on well or have a good time. I mean, the ones I've watched, I mean, I'm not like, I don't watch it religiously. I'll put a caveat this.
But never, the ones in I've all the series I've seen.
the ones I have watched, sometimes the people don't turn up. You know, or at the end, or they've just had a terrible time, or there's a really awkward.
But I guess the mystique's gone.
What is it exactly? You've seen the whole package.
You've seen the crown jewels.
Yeah,
to the palace.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Oh my God! Don't write that down, love. Don't be using that one again. we've done well by getting Chip and all that today. Don't be adding in.
Yeah,
come on. We peaked way too early.
I don't know how we've got from Rill. Where I was born to Naked Attraction. Oh, I'm not entirely sure.
But we've got there. We've got there nonetheless.
Hot tubs, and I've got a follow up question about hot tubs. Why do people get more drunk in hot tubs? Because I agree. I think that is a thing, but I don't know what the science.
I think it's the heat. And being submerged in water, maybe it does something to your blood pressure. I don't know. I'm just saying.
It goes to your
this,
head more, maybe. Yeah, the alcohol goes.
Yeah, through. Or you just drink loads in there because you've got.
You don't realise you're drinking. Yeah.
And you lose hours of your life in there.
Yeah, it's like being in a casino.
It just, once you get in, you don't know what day you're getting out.
That sounds like a threat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do not know. I've got connections in Real, by the way.
From the Real Mafia.
Yeah, that is it. You're not sure. You need to let your family know that you'll get hold of them when you're out. You need to say your goodbyes before you get in.
Oh, my God, I just thought of a great TV show. It might already have been done. And it's a play on words, but... Real, as in the place, Housewives of Real, or Real Housewives of whatever the surrounding area would be.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
It's a play on words, good play on words, isn't it? It's
Yeah.
Put it in the pitch Bible, pitch mate.
I haven't pitched it very well, but...
Yeah, I work on it and then send it me.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. The other way to get... By the way, I'm loving this episode because we're 25 minutes in. And I love the episodes where they go all over the place. They're my favourite. Another way to get drunker, and I only found this out by accident when I was about 18, is to drink a normal amount, whatever, a pint or a bottle or something, and then run. And if you run, it gets in your bloodstream quicker. And I did that once before a Crystal Palace match.
What?
I drunk at the pub. And I was like, kickoff was like happening.
Did you want to get drunk
then? To the stadium. No. I just drunk.
Accidentally.
Kickoff's in 10 minutes. Ran to the stadium. By the time I got in there, I was steaming and I'd only had one pint. Everyone's like, oh my God, I've never seen this drunk. And I think because it's got in my bloodstream quicker because I was running.
That could save me a fortune.
Just do some star jumps.
Just laps around.
You've become, like the Martin Lewis of alcoholics. That is you now, okay? That's your calling.
Well, we are going through a cost of living crisis, so, you know.
Exactly.
Well, anything to help the public save money.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've always got the public's nature at heart, haven't you?
I do. Yeah. I do.
So, just have a pint, do some CrossFit, and then you'll be well away. You'll be the whole evening sorted.
Pissed at Pilates. Ooh. Yeah.
It's like hot yoga, but better.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pissed up Pilates.
Here we go.
Great. Oh, my God. We need to start writing these down. The ideas are coming out. Workshop. Oh, my God.
I didn't know it was going to go this way, guys.
No.
I didn't know.
I'm going to get so rich.
I will endeavour to try and bring it back on track every now and again.
Yeah. This is what happens on the podcast. Is girls ask serious questions, and I just try and derail everything as much as possible. And
that's not how it
works. Well, you have another opportunity in a minute.
Two award nominations later. I don't know what's happened, but.
So I am going to go back. You said you like moved for because you decided you wanted to do acting, but
yeah.
Firstly, were you into acting and performing from a young age? And what made you want to move away? Was there not the opportunities necessarily for you where you were?
No, I think now it's different. I think now you can be an actor from anywhere you live as long as you turn up for the audition or whatever it is. But ultimately, you've got to train to get in that room.
Yeah.
At the beginning, well, again, that's changed as well. But back then when I started, and they, I wanted to go to the cities. Also, I just wanted to make sure that I experienced life as well, you know, traveled and did all these things and learnt new people, met new people, you know, all of them things. And this is always going to be home and I love it so much. But obviously I learn a lot about myself when you step out of it. So, yeah, I went to Oldham College and it was amazing. It was unreal. And then from there, I went to drama school in London. So I've had this amazing exposure in terms of like learning. And my best mates are still the same ones.
Yeah.
So not much change, you know. It's my best mates are still the same people that I had when I was in school. So and they've come with me, you know. They've come to to the cities with me and we've just had a ball. So I'm glad I did it. It just wasn't, at the time, I knew that I wanted to experience a bit more and go out there. But the, you know, the respect I have for my hometown is off the chain because the people inside it are amazing.
And I think it's really important to keep those connections that you've got to that place. Not the mafia ones, but I mean the normal connections. Yeah, like having that grounding, I suppose, you know, and having people join you on that journey. That's really important.
Yeah, you can't be anything other than yourself with your mates because they hold you accountable. So when you're starting to be a bit more like, you can develop, you can change and evolve, and they allow that process if they see it naturally. But if you start getting, say, you know, I got on TV, I got a really good job and X, Y, and Z, and I started to be a diva, trust me and believe me, they will pull me out. They will call me out straight away. And you need them people, the no bullshit people, the people that tell you. Luckily, we've not had to have that chat, but I would expect that of them the way I'd do it to them as well if they did it, you know?
Yeah, hey, knobhead, you're being a knobhead.
Excuse me, Chip.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, when like your mum calls you like your full name, you know, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
If you get Chip,
To go back to it now, because people ask me questions, by the way, and I'll forget the question by the first sentence, but I've just remembered. There was a dance school in Real that I trained at. Yeah. So I got a job illegally at 10 years old, pot washing, so I could pay myself to go into dance, into acting classes. They were about 50p at the time, so it wasn't really that much.
So the dance class was more. Sorry, Kimberly, how old were you pretending to be? 14?
12, I think, okay. It could be back then. When you could be a pot washer around 12, 13. Okay. And I think they knew, but they just didn't care. It would. You got away with so much more back then.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
They get you early.
It was called pot washing. We all know what that means. Yeah. Body bags.
So I did that and then... And I paid myself to go to dance and, you know, I think my mum would be okay with me saying this because it's a conversation that we've had, but no mum in the world wants to hear their child say to them, "Mum, I want to be an actor." Mm. That's the worst thing you could say. She was like, "I don't think so, sweetheart." I remember her saying to me, "Why don't you get a proper job like working in Sainsbury's?" And that was her, and she was right in saying that, you know. Yeah. At the time, I was like, you don't understand me. I was born to be somebody. All of that. But she's obviously had my best interests at heart. But at the time, I thought she was a right cow for saying that, you know. So I made a point. I paid for myself. I didn't ask her for nothing in that respect. And I put myself in that position. And now... she's fully behind me. She fully trusts me. She, you know, knows that this is serious. And I think that's the way to do it. My dad was in the arts. My dad was a drummer, really well known around North Wales. He was in the Pentagons and the Reflections, two big bands. So he toured a lot. And that's where I got it from, you know, this sort of need for the arts or... But I think maybe my mum might have had a bit of trauma from that. You just don't know, do you? That so when your kid says, "I want to be a bit like my dad," it's when you're a divorce, I'm guessing that's the worst news you can receive.
I guess also, maybe protecting you a little bit from that, like the perilous kind of journey of that as well, you know, because obviously we know as creatives, it's not, you know, it's not the easiest of journey. Maybe there was a bit of, you know, in hindsight, maybe that was probably in her mind as well, like, you know, just get a normal job and then you won't be,
yeah, yeah. Absolutely. It was about protecting me. It was about wanting the best for me, but I didn't see it that way. It took years. So when I started to do well, she was like, oh, I'm loving this. I said, don't jump up on the bandwagon now, Jill. Like, I was like, don't think so.
You had your chance.
You had your chance, yeah. So, you know, but then she did it for the right reasons. I hated her for it at the time, but she did. I understand it now. Like, that's growth. That's, you know, you get, as you get older, that changes. But, yeah, real was great in respect of, like, I got to do shows and I knew. And I wasn't ever picked for the leads. I was always the person in the background. I was the underdog, but I think the underdog are sometimes the best ones, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not calling myself the best, but I'm just saying.
No, but it makes you strive. And I wonder actually also, like, your mum's attitude towards it. And I know that I've been in situations with people that aren't very encouraging in that way. It kind of strives you forward a little bit more, gives you like more momentum to do it.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a bit of a two fingers up kind of situation where you like, okay, I'm definitely going to do this now because you've told me you don't want me to.
Yeah. And when I take my mum to, like, you know, we go to some great things together and I say, hey, do you remember the time you said I was? and we laugh about it now and we share that. But then, you know, she's still going to be scared for me. Now, even when things are going good, she's been there when things haven't gone great.
Yeah.
So she sees she's had to bail me out times, you know, where I've got no money, but just a dream.
Yeah.
So she's, you know, she's right in having that point of view.
Yeah. It's parents' prerogative. I think that's just, it's a natural thing that you can't, a natural state of mind that you can't turn off. My wife is also an actor and we've got a three and a half year old daughter. And my wife teaches drama on the side as well. And she took my daughter to one of their end of term performances and she was hooked by the stage. And at the end, got on the stage. The look on her face, I've said this before on the pod, I've never seen a look of joy spread so quickly. So me and my wife both like, okay, well, it's happening. It has started. So we are well prepared for that. But also, I do think, like, you're completely right about that. You know, resilience. I think anyone in the arts is a resilient person. I think it's actually an innate quality that you have that you don't even realise you have. You just do.
Yeah.
I also kind of think that if you're meant for something, and this has come up on the pod before, Charles, hasn't it? Like, it will come to you, whether it comes when you're really young or maybe when you're a bit older, maybe didn't even know you needed it until your late 20s. Like, I think, but you clearly had that, you know, if you're pot washing at 10 to pay for dance classes, you had that drive anyway. So I think this life would have happened for you whether your mum was like fully on board
or not. Yeah, and definitely at the start it was a not. You know, we didn't have the best relationship. We've got an amazing one now. So I can say the negative because I know how positive it is today.
Yeah.
So sorry, fake tan hands, really bad. Just ignore them. Just pretend these aren't here.
It's an audio podcast, so
how is it? No, right, guys. Known. I've faked tan, it's not gone well. Picture the scene. It's not great. But nothing a hot tub can't sort out in a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
we didn't have a good relationship, and even when I moved to Manchester, we were still on rocky terms. Mums and daughters are like that though. If any a problem, the girls are for the dads, and my dad was my best mate, my biggest supporter, you know. Oh, Jesus, like, just so, he was so in it, he got it. And I lost my dad, unfortunately, when I was in drama school. So, and I think that must have hurt her to watch as well. You know, all of these things come into play. And as I say, they were divorced when I was 3 years old. So it almost felt like my mum had done the graft of the hard work and then I've gone over to my dad and he's gone, you could be an actress. And I'm like, I love you more because you tell me the things I want to hear. So it hurt, and we had a rocky relationship that until you're an adult, it doesn't sort itself out. You can't have them open, frank conversations. Yeah. I'm sure you have it with your side of things. You know, you've got a little girl, haven't you, Jim?
Yeah.
So you're going to find that they're going to have it loggerheads because I think it's really normal.
She already, I like always wanted to be like a fun dad. Mm-hmm. And my daughter
she's driven that out of you?
No. Do you know what? The other way around.
Yeah, yeah, she made it even more fun.
My wife, Mum, you're fun, but Dad's more fun. Yeah. But I do think that is natural with a sort of father-daughter relationship. It's kind of easier to be... We've got a little boy as well, who's 4 months old, and I think that's probably going to be a different relationship. And my wife finds it hard. She finds it harder to be... She just ends up being stricter by sort of default, almost. So yeah. It's interesting watching that relationship. And now our daughter's 3.5. She's really growing into a proper person, which is mad. But it's interesting watching those relationships yeah. develop. And I'm not even... It's just happening to me. Without even
yeah.
sort of trying?
Yeah. I honestly, I speak about this a lot with my friends and stuff, and the girls are always for the dads. I'd say, obviously, my mum is my best mate now, like she is. We've worked through everything, and I'm extremely proud of the person that she is today. My mum had an accident last year, and... from that, she's now registered as disabled. So I was her carer for a good half a year, just living beside her and washing her and doing all them things that where the roles naturally reverse. And I think we had some conversations, and it sounds weird because you'd be like, well, surely you've had them conversations before, but them circumstances make you have them.
Yeah.
When you're wiping your mum's ass, you're going to have a... That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've hit the... I've done it with my dad as well. You know, it was with my dad's end of care. We was all chipping in. We was all there. And we become his carers as well. And you see things that you think, oh, you're not meant to be exposed to that. But what that does is open the biggest conversation in the world, because all the things that aren't meant to be happening are already happening in front of you. Yeah. So why don't we just have this chat as well?
Yeah, you're in a vulnerable position, aren't you? Like you are, and she is, and it gives you that opportunity to open up about stuff. And I'm, you know, thank you for sharing that, because that is obviously very powerful, and it's great that you have been able to do that with your mum and have that, you know, that time together to kind of work on those things, you know, because like you say, we're all growing all the time, aren't we?
Yeah, and there's a generation of I'd say. My mum is part of this generation of, if we back in the day they had depression, they were scared to say it because they'd be locked away for it.
Yeah.
My mum is from that background, so you know, when we're so expressionate now, aren't we, of our feelings? It's all out there. It's all, we talk about mental health. We do all this. So I think now it's safer for her to come out of her shell and talk about things that affected her, because she's not going to get locked away for that anymore.
Yeah, it's so true. I've had some really lovely deep chats with my dad recently, and my dad was not very open growing up, but again from that sort of generation where it wasn't a big Irish family. It just wasn't a thing that people did. And we've had some really lovely chats on drive to away games recently. And I'm just really proud of him, and I really appreciate him, because it probably wasn't easy. I'm like you, from a different generation where we were talking about our feelings. We're all in therapy, we're all talking about our feelings, and like it's all cool. But I really appreciate him doing that, and it reminded me that like every relationship is a work in progress, and every relationship is repairable, and you know, nothing's forever. And even if you're a really difficult time with someone, at some point down the line, you can get to a place, you know, where you can be more vulnerable with each other and more communicative. And that's an encouraging thing to think.
Yeah, it really is. And I think to anyone from any era, any age, anything, any background, everyone deserves to tell their story out loud at least once.
Yeah.
So I am very grateful that my mum had the courage to talk to me about things that were clearly very difficult, that you don't as a kid think, I wonder why she's acting like that. Yeah. Maybe it's because of, you don't do that. You just think she's being a bitch and that's it. You know?
Yeah.
But now having that ability to discuss these things has just been like, Christ, I love you. I love you so much. And I've got way more respect for you now because, you know, I know you. I've got the privilege of knowing you.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes it does take that passage of time to get to that place, doesn't it? You can't force that thing. That just happened to happen. And like you say, be grateful that it has.
Yeah.
And you can understand each other a little bit more. That's really great.
Yeah, definitely.
It's very powerful, really powerful.
Well, I think we could all say we've all got experience in it, and it doesn't necessarily need to be a parent either. It's like I say, it's your friendship group. You know, we all think we know each other, but do we? Because could I say your brothers and sisters' names? Do I know where you were born? Do I know, you know, what your childhood was like? We just take everything for face value, or whatever we present, we say, okay, we think we know that person, but it goes way deeper than that.
Yeah. Do you like having deeper meaningfuls? I do.
Oh, my God, I love a deeper meaningful.
Well, you're on the right podcast.
Oh, my God, I love it. Honestly, I love it. And
in a hot tub, meaningful. I mean, that's like getting any better.
Exactly. Or in all four well fields, just stick Naked Attraction on.
There's nothing more vulnerable than Naked Attraction.
Than a willy right next. Yeah. I do love a deep and meaningful, and I actually adore it.
Mm.
And I think, do you know, there's not many, I wouldn't praise myself for a lot of things about myself. You know, we're always going to be negative on ourselves. But one thing I do like about me is that I want to hear people's stories. I really do. Maybe I'm the nosy cow, but most of the time, I just really want to hear your story, because somewhere along the line, there'll be something that you say that makes me realise that I'm not alone in my thought process too.
I think there's a few things there. That shows that you're a very empathetic and compassionate person. But also, I wonder also, because of the kind of work you do, you're kind of inquisitive about how things work and how people work. I think so. There's probably a mixture of things there, you know. And I think actually, to be an actor, you do have to have an element of empathy and compassion, and a level of curiosity about how people work and how they, you know, because you obviously at some point in time you're going to have to inhabit a different person.
Yeah, and I've never really thought about it like that, to be fair, and thought, you know, maybe it is just part of, well, I wouldn't want to think it's a part of a job, but you know what I mean, it is part of my job to have that curiosity and because that's what I do. But I just love talking. I love talking, but I have a really good knack of being able to find out a lot of information about other people and then thinking that I've told them a lot, but I haven't really at all.
Mm-hmm. So you'd be naturally listening.
You should host a podcast. Ideal podcast host skills.
It makes it sound like I'm giving a lot away, but I actually am not. Today I'm giving more of myself away because you've asked me to come on as a guest. Yeah. But if this was my conversation being led by me, it would be so very different. Mm. I'd be chipping in with little bits that make you think, oh, well, she's giving herself up, so maybe I should too. But you'll walk away and it won't be necessarily, you know, that outcome.
Yeah.
But that is a skill, to be able to create that sort of safe space for people to open up and share. And clearly you're good at that. People trust you. People like being around you. You make people feel comfortable. And these are all nice life skills.
Yeah, this makes it sound like I'm being a right big-headed.
No, not at all. No.
I think it's all true as well.
Well, that's just one quality I like about myself. There's loads of other things I can tell you now that I dislike about myself. But it's that's one thing I think, okay, that's your purpose is to talk. So the deep and meaningfuls come naturally to me, and I want to know everything.
That is so good, isn't it? Because I think we all have things we hate about ourselves.
Yeah, it's much easier to dive into those things, and you can, like,
100%.
You know, if you were to write a list down now of all your own pros and cons about you think about yourself, there'd probably be hardly any pros, I bet. But the fact that you've actually said that now is great, because
it's really important.
One of Jim's like mantras on this podcast and in life is give yourself the wins. And we don't do that enough.
I didn't
actually
write that, unfortunately. I've stolen that from someone else.
But it's so important to do that. It is so important to do that.
What's one of yours? What Giles? What would you say that you really like about yourself?
Well, similar to you, like I think I'm pretty good at listening. I mean, active listening is, you know, really important to me, and trying to come alongside people, and see, you know, we all have different ways of looking at the world and different experiences, but just being able to, yeah, come alongside anyone, no matter what their experience is, and actively listen to them, you know, like not. So that would, I would say, is one of mine. So probably quite similar to you. Really.
I think
Jim's great with hot tubs.
I'm great with hot tubs. I think come alongside people was the Naked Attraction spin-off. Sorry, that's terrible.
I don't worry, my brain went there too.
So. Come at the same time with people.
when you said that, I was like, I feel like this is not the time to drop that.
I let Giles finish like this really lovely moment.
Yeah. What a bunch of cunts. I mean that in the best possible way.
Yeah, no, I know, I love it, don't worry. What about you, Jim? What would you say is a positive quality that you offer?
Oh, God.
Hair.
I mean, it's a good
good hairline.
Do you know what? Yeah, definitely hair. My hair is a big obsession. hair, eyebrows. It's a question we don't ask each other and ourselves enough, and I think it's a really like empowering question.
You're avoiding the question, I notice.
Yeah, I can see this. Well done for that question. That was really good. And then he's off again.
Yeah, it's definitely a question. It's good.
Let me be clear when I say, I think I am a friend. I'm friendly, and I think I put people at ease. Quite early on, and I went to my daughter's parents' evening last night in nursery, first time I've ever been to parents' evening. But whenever I'm dropping off at nursery, I'm always like really friendly to people. It's like what's the phrase? It's the first thing I.
Your modus operandi. See.
Yeah, but like, you know, when the first thing you deliver to people when you meet them, like that's the
high
the
fives.
Aura or the high five. They're like, who's this wanker who keeps high five?
Big tens.
But I think
they'll start calling you Jim High Five.
Yeah.
Like, high five you met Jim High Five.
Yeah. Chip Daly with his high five. Yeah. Come on, guys, we got this.
But I'd agree, you do put people at ease because straight away we started laughing and joking and almost taking the piss out of each other. And that's really difficult to do.
Yeah, we're definitely going to call you a knobhead by the end of the.
Especially over Zoom. I think, you know, even in person, sometimes you can do it because you can like feel someone's energy. But over Zoom, it is
harder. Really
when I signed with my first agent, she said to me, we're talking about like doing adverts and stuff. And she said, you've got the sort of face.
For radio.
for podcast. You got the sort of face that I would ask directions from. I'd ask that face for directions. And I always thought, that's always stuck with me. I was like, that's a really nice thing to hear. Yeah,
that's a good compliment.
Really nice.
That's so lovely.
She bit me off 6 months later, but, you know, it's fine.
I'm not bitter. I'm over it. It's fine. Don't even want to talk about it.
He's now become a parking inspector. He's actually literally giving people directions.
Yeah. It's really weird. My agent that I'm with now, my acting agent, I met them first over Zoom and signed with them on Zoom, so they never physically met me. Yeah. So it was really weird because that's the sort of world that it is now as well. Meetings all happen.
Yeah.
I do auditions on Zoom now. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah, how do you find that? I was going to ask you about that actually, because it's must be quite difficult.
The only thing I find difficult, and I think you'll agree, is I always look at myself.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We're all doing that.
I've been doing it for 55 minutes.
I find it so difficult to not look at me.
I'm exactly the same. Wow, my hair's looking good today. Anyway, yes. Carry on.
Oh, my hat's a bit like wonky.
Yeah, and it's so jarring because I think if I'm doing it, they're doing it.
Yeah.
So it's distracting technology.
Even looking at each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, are you even looking, like, I don't, true. It's, so that's the only thing I find the hardest thing straight away. And then the other thing is I think a lot of actors get jobs because people want to work with them because they offer a certain energy to the project. So, right, there's two people that are really good for the acting job. Both are equally as good. One's got a better personality. And I think they're going to get it. But it's hard to show that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it comes across slightly. I think it is, but I just something about auras and energies and all that sort of stuff. If you're into it, which I am, I can tell environments and when I walk in one, whether it's frosty, welcoming, or stuff like that. So I find that hard to gauge. But you know, I did Celebs Go Dating. I did that for over Zoom. I'm trying to think. God, I've done so many. I've just done Brassic, filming for Brassic. That was self tape. But God, I'm just like, please get me in the room because I like that energy that us two in the room together, and you can tell me to do something different if you want to see, and you don't get redirection anymore, which is sometimes the difference between you getting a job or not, because they go, okay, you, that's a weird choice. Can you do it this way? Oh yeah, perfect. You're great for that, but you don't get that no more. It's cutthroat now. It's harder than ever, because if you don't get that right in that one take, there's a chance that you're not even going to get called back. And that's savage.
Yeah.
I was saying the other day, I did a podcast the other day, and they said to me, oh, what's your worst audition? And I said, oh, I went in the room once. It was for Mamma Mia. And there were some really important people on the panel. First time meeting them, fresh out of drama school.
Benny and Bjorn.
What's... Yeah. ABBA themselves come along. Yeah, so I went in the room and they said, oh, what are you singing today, Kimberly? And I said, oh, I'm singing Celine Dion, Think Twice. They went, one of the casting directors went, oh, that's my favourite song.
Oh, I said, no. Well,
it won't. Yeah, and I went, oh, well, it won't be in a minute. And then started singing. And I thought, honestly, I was like, I was like, why did you do that?
I'd
like,
have cast you on the spot.
Yeah. She's got balls.
God, they didn't. They just said, thanks for your time. No thanks, basically.
But do you not think that, like, I mean, obviously, like, you know, it's a big gig and, like, everyone wants that. But, like, if you do give part of your personality like that and it isn't reflected back, part of me is like, would I like working with these people?
Yeah, then? Exactly.
It might be a shit experience.
Yeah. This is exactly what it's about now for me. It's like, you've got to interview them as well, I think.
Yeah.
I used to stink of desperation. I wore it as perfume 24/7. And I was, you know, really like walked in like, this means I'm going to not pay my electricity this month if you don't give it me. You know, like I was really on that. But now I feel like I'm in the position. And this is only because I found something that I love outside of acting that's allowed me to have this disposition. I walk in now and I think, okay, let me see if this is for me. Because if it's going to be a 6-month tour or 6 months of my life, am I going to be happy?
Completely.
And I think that's when you start to do that, it becomes more of a conversation and less about a presentation.
Yeah.
And there's something in that.
Yeah, no, you're just tweaking your mindset a little bit with it, aren't you?
Yeah.
And like you say, I think then if you're not as, like you say, not as bothered... Either way, obviously, like you're still going to go in.
You want it,
but if you know it's not the end of the world, if you don't get it, then I think that will come across in your energy and stuff, definitely.
And that's what happened with Corey. You know, I come in when I finally got the part, and I've been on and off auditioning for that show for nearly a decade. And I came in,
really?
And it was a long process, and solely because my dad. I've always wanted to be in Corrie personally, but my dad, when he passed on, one of his sort of latter moments, he said to me, will you do me a favour and just get in Corrie? Because it was his favourite show.
Wow.
So he'd sort of really put a burden on me there, to be honest.
Yeah,
10-year curse he put on me. But it meant that it gave me a direction and it meant I couldn't give up. But there was a time where I did give up in terms of I said, this isn't making me happy anymore. This isn't healthy anymore. I need to go away, and go away I did. I lived in Ibiza doing interior decor for clubs, and loved it. And I sold my brand out there, my rework brand, and I did all that. And I come back from that, did the season, come back. Oh, God, I felt different. Something had changed in my head. And I come in the room and I was like, when I went to Corrie, we spoke about, we didn't speak about acting. They weren't concerned about why there's a gap in my CV. They didn't judge me for that. Yeah. They went, what did you do? And I said, I just went away. I just stopped. And they were like, amazing. They were looking at my work, my sewing work. Like, they would just get, it was just great. And I was like, I could do this part. This is brilliant. and I think I'm going to get it. And I never normally say that. And I did because but most of all, and I said this out loud, I was like, you know, I want to be here, but I don't need to be here. Yeah. And that's, I didn't say it to casting director. I said it out loud to my mates, but like in, and also one of my good friends is a casting director there. And I spoke to her about it and we've been friends for years. And I think that's so liberating.
Yeah.
Completely agree. And that was like everything coming together. You being, having had that time off and then being in a different place, your dad, it must have felt like everything had just sort of
aligned.
Aligned. Yeah, completely.
Yeah. It aligned, and I hate this saying, you know, when you're like, oh, it'll come to you when it's ready, when it's the right time. And I hate that saying because most of the time you want it now.
Yeah.
I couldn't have planned a better journey. I couldn't have asked for a better time scale because if I'd have got this in my 20s, I might have been a dick.
Mm.
A knobhead, right knobhead.
I might have been a right knobhead.
I don't know why it popped into my head, but this might be a bad kind of sort of metaphor, not a metaphor, but like a simile. I was just thinking of The Shawshank Redemption, and Morgan Freeman's character keeps going up for parole, but every time he kind of says what they want him to, you know, he says what he thinks they want to hear, and he doesn't get parole, and then eventually he says, "Well, fuck this." You know, I've hated being in this prison, blah, and I can't guarantee I won't do anything bad when I get out, and blah 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 blah. And they're like, "Oh, parole, let him out." And it's just because he kind of like throws caution to the wind a little bit, and just it wasn't, you know, it's not as vital now. Like I've been here all this time, and I know it's a weird kind of thing to sort of to use as a comparison, but just that idea that you tried and tried and tried it, but then when you were kind of less, I guess not less bothered, but like it wasn't as vital. It then, you know, it then happened.
It happens, yeah. And that's a lot like every bit in life, love. If you're looking for it, you can't find it. If you're looking for it, you can't find it. Yeah, yeah. It goes across the scale, you know.
Your mind. Really,
yeah, your mind. I haven't found it yet, but, you know, I'm still looking. Yeah, it'll turn up one day. Like, just things like that. Like, God, I don't want to be that wanker that gets all, like, metaphorical because there's only so many days that you can live off them, actually, before it's not helpful.
Yeah.
But I think when it does happen, you'll understand it, you'll get it, and you'll be grateful for it. But you have to reach that point before you really value the journey in it. You'll hate every step of the way until it happens, and then you'll look back and be like, I wouldn't change any step of that, which is really weird. Yeah.
Completely agree. I would say this episode has covered the most... This has been the perfect blend of... We've gone from Naked Attraction to life advice. This has been... I could honestly chat to you for hours. This has been so much fun. Unfortunately, my wife needs to use this desk in about 5 minutes for work.
Oh, my, I love that. Please say she's doing Shakespeare of them rainbows behind her head.
I don't know what she's doing, but yeah, let's hope.
I want Macbeth or something, a tragedy with just that little rainbow wall in the background, please.
I love this. I love these rainbows. I think they're brilliant, and our daughter loves them as well. So I might see if we could just, like, our room's next door, so just borrow them and put them into
our room. Jim, they add to the whole kind of friendly, you know, it always, Jimmy.
Yeah,
is Chip? Is Chippy Daily?
Is Chip? I was asking for directions.
I'll stop giving out directions. Everyone's asking me. Yeah, left, right. Yeah, go. Yeah. Oh man,
Kimberly, I love this. Thank you.
We've loved having you so on. You've been amazing.
Yeah, it's been brilliant, amazing. Kimberly. Thank you so much for your time. And
Giles, just a shout out to you, Giles. I think you're one of the most. Jim, this is no diss on you. I just don't know you yet. You're one of the most giving, real, I don't have much words for you, Giles. I think you're a great human being.
Oh, thank you. I really do.
Well,
likewise. And I agree.
Giles has helped me out before, just so everyone knows. I didn't know him. He followed me on Insta, and you've always do check-in messages with people. And you helped me when I had some questions about how to approach bookmaking for children and stuff. And you didn't even know me. You didn't need to give me your time, and you did. And you are the kind of people that make the world go around. So thank you.
Oh, that's so lovely of you to say it. More likewise. And likewise. And, well, and, you know, like when we've talked about energies, and obviously we haven't met in real in life, but, you know, you can just tell about people. And
we'd have a right good piss up in the hot tub with the Giants.
But, you know, honestly, yeah.
That's totally back
at you. Yeah, it is a follow-up episode. But totally back at you. And, yeah, you know, obviously you can always message me about anything. So, yeah.
Thank you. And thanks, Jim. It's been lovely to meet you too.
Same. It's been absolutely brilliant. Don't message me on Instagram for advice, though, because I won't reply. I'm
no, you're the banter. Giles is the advice. There you go.
Love that. Yeah. And that's why amazing. We work so well.
Thank you. And well done on 200 episodes as well.
Thank you.
I've seen
that.
Yeah,
well
done, guys. That's a great achievement.
Oh, we appreciate that very much.
Kimberly Hart Simpson there on the Blank Podcast. What an absolute knobhead. No, I'm joking. What a legend. What an absolute legend. She is brilliant having her on. And this one ticked so many boxes. It was just an absolute blast. But some really lovely bits of life advice in there as well. And a nice insight into what is a mad career, as we know, being an actor. It's come up many times on the podcast. But some really raw moments in there from her. And some lovely madness as well, which is what we embrace on the pod. So, yeah, thank you, Kimberly, for just being an absolute legend.
Yeah, yeah, it was lovely. And got us to kind of give ourselves a bit of pat on the back. Like, we had to sort of talk about what things we liked about ourselves. And that's always hard to do.
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
I don't think you ever did. Oh, yeah, you said you were friendly, didn't you? That was right.
Yeah. It's a nice question to ask and turn on the host, isn't it? Yeah. It's good. I've not had that before. And that was a nice moment. But I think as well, she was genuinely interested, which was nice. But, you know, she's a very good conversationalist and she clearly is interested in other people's lives and stories. And that really came across. But yeah, that was interesting. I think all our listeners should do that at some point. Turn the questions on themselves and say what they like. Or maybe they could tweet us what you like about yourself. You know, I think it'd be a nice moment.
Yeah.
We'll retweet them, and then getting that positivity out there into the world, hopefully we'll bounce back to everyone.
Well, like we said, it's not easy to do that sometimes. You kind of like look at yourself and
self-deprecate.
Thank you. We self-deprecate all the time. It's very easy to be negative about ourselves. But, you know, once in a while, just think about what's good about you and you know what you do for others. I think you'd be surprised, actually. You probably start to see other good things in your character.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that's a good exercise to do once in a while, you know, or not even once in a while, regularly. So thanks you, Kimberly, for sort of bringing that into our onto our pod and into our lives. I think that was lovely. I should say, if you want extra content from Kimberly and all our guests each week, do sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/blankpodcast. I need to give out my other Patreon there. And for extra content from all our guests, of course. And just, I guess, before we sign off, just a thank you to everyone that's wished us congratulations for 200 episodes, because this is episode, including Kimberly, this is episode 201. So we crack on with the next 100. But we had some lovely tweets from people and DMs and stuff. So thanks to everyone that's reached out. It feels good to have got to 200. We had fun doing that episode.
We did.
Look back episode and we march on. As the kids say. Oh, no. What do the kids
we
say?
We move.
We move. Yeah.
Yeah.
We move. What do they say in football circles? In football? On to the next one or something like that, don't they? But
on
we move. Yes,
one.
We move.
Yeah, onto the next what? Well, I suppose onto the next podcast. We move. Yeah. I kind of quite like We Move because it's sort of a bit more opaque, isn't it?
It's less committal.
Yeah.
We move. How exactly? Well, we just move.
We just move. It just happens.
Yeah, might be backwards. Might be sideways.
Is it always said...
Didn't say it was forwards.
Is it always said after something bad happens? Like,
I think
like it is what it is. Is it an is what it is what it is type stuff?
No, do you know what? Actually, no, I take that back. I think it can be used in all. I think it's a bit of everything. I think it's like if something bad's happened, it's like, do you know what? dust yourself down, pick yourself up.
Yeah.
Start all over again. But if something good happens, it is what it is. It is what it is. If something good happens, it's one of those, do you know what? Don't get carried away. We move. Just we crack on kind of thing. So okay, I think it can be used in all circumstances, I think. I don't know.
You say that's the kids. How I interpret what it. Are the who are these kids? What age are saying this? What generation?
Well, younger than us, but that's not difficult.
So what generation is that?
Gen Z?
Gen Z?
Gen Y or Gen Z? What am I? I'm Gen Y, aren't I? Millennial.
Am I Gen X? No, I can't be that
no,
old.
No, I don't know what the cutoff is. No, maybe you're saying maybe millennial.
Gen Y. Let's see the Gen... Oh, I'm going to look it up now.
Gen We've y done this before. Age. Wait, we literally Googled this about a month ago.
I'm not even Gen Y. I think I might be Gen X because Gen Y starts at 82. So Gen Y is Michelle. My wife is Gen Y. That's 82 okay, so to 94. So you're Gen Y.
Which is millennial.
Yeah. I think I'm Gen X.
Gen X, okay.
Yeah, 65 to 1980.
And before that is
They didn't start doing it.
Boomers before that. Yeah, too long ago. Boomers before that, isn't it?
Oh, man. See, like
45
I remember,
to 65 or something.
See, I remember reading the book Generation X by Douglas Copeland and thinking, I'm not one of them.
These old pricks.
yeah, these old fuckers. And I'm actually one of them, so there we go.
Only just, though.
Only just by 3 years.
And I'm only just a millennial.
I feel more like a Gen Y kind of person.
I think you are. And do you know what? There should probably be a subcategory for people in that overlap period. Because I don't feel like a young millennial. Like the younger millennials born in 94 are way different to me.
Gen Z, so, interestingly, started in 97. So they started with Tony Blair. And then they went to 2012. Which is
Tony Blair and Kevin Keegan, and then
they ended. Well, 2012 is the cutoff.
What?
2012.
So what's the next?
Does it go back to A again?
I think it's like Alpha, isn't it? I think it is like called Alpha Generation. Alpha.
Generation Alpha is what we're talking. So Generation Alpha, we've gone on a huge tangent here. Generation Alpha is the We Move generation.
No, because maybe actually.
Mm. I don't know any 26. No,
they'd be like 10 or 11, wouldn't they? Oh, well, that means my kids are Gen Alpha. Mm. That's interesting. Is it? It's probably not. It's not that interesting. Should we wrap up the podcast because no one
needs to know this shit.
But you could just Google it.
Yeah.
Anyway, have a good week, mate.
Yeah. One piece of advice though, which is covers all the generations, Jim.
Yeah.
Just remember.
Yeah.
Don't get cancelled.
I won't.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This is a Glassbox Media Podcast.